people and places. With your host, Brad Banjor, Pete Shapiro, Matt D'Andrea, and Aaron Hagar. New media for a new type of motorsport enthusiast.
We've got some great shows going on. I mean, we've got all the Bond Speed Media family here because we've been doing Dixon's Wild Ride.
Yes, sir.
Man Seeks Adventure.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
And the premiere show, which is Shift and Stare. Shift and Stare with this group right here. I'm Brad Fanshawe.
The brothers.
And you know what? You might know me for Bond Speed Wheels, but I've got a great group of guys here.
Who?
On this side, I've got Matt, the moderator, D'Andrea.
Hello.
How you doing today?
Good. Busy day.
You did your CarCast here earlier, didn't you?
We did. We did CarCast live in the Capitol booth with Tanner Faust, who's always a great guest, and we'll have him on the show
as well. He's a hell of a skydiver, isn't he?
And he's pretty good at the driving.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, he's a driver.
No question.
He's good at the driving.
You know, drift cycles.
Yeah.
And next to him is the legendary...
Hall of Famer.
He's the Hoff. We call him the Hoff.
He was inducted in 99.
No, he was indicted.
I thought he was indicted. Was it indicted?
Yeah, that's what it was.
So, Pete Shapiro from SoCal Speed Shop. How you doing, Pete?
Yeah, good. We found the beer.
You found the beer.
Yeah.
That's good. Talk into that thing. That's what it says.
Yeah, we found the beer. It's downstairs.
What, did they sell it to you or they give
no,
it to
they
you?
No, they gave it. Well, we stole it.
Oh, you get a Hoff membership. You get free beer.
Yeah.
Over here on this side is... Aaron Hagar, how you doing, Aaron?
You almost forgot, didn't you?
No, I didn't.
You hesitated.
Didn't forget.
You hesitated.
he was on the fence.
What the hell is he doing?
I had my
back to you for a second, but I didn't forget. And then we've got two buddies up here, some guests. We've got Dave Merrick, the man with the gatefold. We're going to bring it up again. The gatefold. His business card unfolds like this because his title is so long.
I am actually here with that title. On this show.
Give him the title.
Because I feel like I'm actually a member of Shift and Steer.
This guy is a world-famous designer. If you saw that Acura NSX race car and the Acura NSX in the back, right here, the guy. Give him your title, Dave.
I'm Executive Creative Director for Acura.
Worldwide, global, the whole globe.
And
the entire globe.
A co-host on a podcast called Man Seeks Adventure.
That's right, which is coming up later if you look at the schedule.
Just curious, shouldn't it be Men Seeks Adventure? There are two of you.
Well, but we go on different adventures. Dave's thing is, I go, okay, I'm going to go on this hiking adventure, and Dave says, I'm going to go hike from bar to bar.
So we have two different ways to hike. People said, do you like hiking? Because I grew up in Lake Tahoe, you know, you hike all the time. And I said, what's your favorite place to hike? I go down Bourbon Street and then back up.
So you guys... take a listen. Subscribe to Man Seeks Adventure. You guys had some pretty cool guests on the past couple of days.
Yes,
so if you're new to the show, start checking it out on iTunes. Who are some of the guys you had
on? Oh, man, we had
Ninja
Jason
Turtles.
Bonham, the drummer.
He's a chef?
Yes, he's
they
a chef.
They were cool, too,
yes.
The Ninja Turtles.
No, but Jason Bonham and Michael Anthony. Now, they're in the circle together, but you might have heard of his dad, who was John Bonham from the legendary Led Zeppelin. He was on yesterday. Michael Anthony from Van Halen. And it just keeps getting better and better because who were the other guys we had on, Dave?
Well, we have to say real quick for Jason, too. It was his first time here.
His first time to SEMA.
So Jason
experienced
SEMA.
He was big-eyed.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah.
He's a little manic anyway. So
well, today is special. We're going to have Elvis Monroe, Ben and Brian from Elvis Monroe.
They're
doing some stuff outside, but they're going to come in and play later today, everybody.
So, but hey, before we get started, we cannot forget this guy right here, Jimmy Shine.
That's fine. You guys are doing fine.
Yeah, well, we were going to kind of, but we just decided to introduce you since you're up here.
That's very kind of you.
From the Jimmy Shine Workshop.
Yes, sir.
Jimmy, how you doing?
Doing really good. We just got in today. So it's been a push. You know,
do you know the Hoff, by the way?
You know, it turns out I do know this guy.
How do you know him?
If you know Pete Chapopoulos, you see him, tell him I said hello.
Yeah, but you were here earlier in the week, as I remember.
I was here, yes, Saturday delivery.
Bring that up a little bit so we can hear you a little
better. How about that?
There we go.
It sounds terrible. I can hear myself.
That's the whole idea, so you know what you're saying.
For the last 20 years for me.
Oh, my God, I know.
For those of you who don't know, Jimmy was... in cohorts.
Cohorts.
That's a good way to say it.
Tomato, tomato,
no, but
whatever.
Working with Pete over at SoCal Speed Shop. Now he's spun off with Jimmy Shine Workshop.
I like how he said spun off. Thank
and
you.
The reason we have you guys here
spun
today.
Out? No, spun out.
Oh, should I press
out.
This little thing?
Sure.
No, the reason they're
are
up here today.
Are you recording this?
We are. We're
he
recording
does that
so
every show.
This is like the circus of pain.
To be fair, the first 18 shows he didn't record.
Oh, we had some great shows.
Well, here's where I do my corporate hat.
Go for it.
So what did we do? So as Acura, we're going to show the GT3. We're going to announce all the drivers. So next year we're doing the...
Am I one of the drivers?
Yes. You weren't here yesterday. What the hell?
Awesome.
We mentioned you. But literally, that you would fit in the car, if that helps you.
I do.
Yeah.
That does
anyway,
help me.
So they literally, yesterday we introduced the drivers. So how do we show that car? How do we show the race car? And we came up with the idea of, we should, if a guy could buy it, you got to homologate him, 25. If a guy could buy it and take it to a racetrack, you know, on the weekend. So he needs a trailer. So we said, we'll do this MDX. And I said, I know a guy. So when you think out of the box with SEMA, it's like, I'd been to Jimmy's shop, and I thought, this could be really cool. It's kind of what I would say is, we got in early with him. You know, he's just opened the shop, and let's do a corporate thing and get your feet wet. And,
yeah, thank
you.
And you
go, hell, this, I'm never doing this again.
Yeah, I was,
you jumped in the deep end.
I was going to say, you didn't drown, did you?
Almost. Yeah, but from a GT race car, you think, well, you know, they're going to go to one of the people that build our show cars or something. And Jimmy was perfect to, A, show his talent, and B, kind of collaborate to try and make this trailer and then lower the MDX and do all that stuff. So talk about it, buddy.
Oh, wow. You know, again, it's an honor. Thank you for, you know, bringing the project to us. And it was a heck of an opportunity to do something, for lack of a better term, out of the box, but really something unique. How do you build something like a trailer and make it cool? I mean, trailers are trailers. They're
yeah,
functional
how do you make it
pieces.
Different?
So that's, you know,
he
in collaboration.
He did have a look of, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Well, there's
he's
that
like,
I just opened my new hot rod shop.
And you want me to build a trailer and a toaster oven to match.
Look, I've got Billy Gibbons, like 34 Ford right there. What, a trailer?
A trailer?
Yeah. But you know what? That's the fun stuff. And, you know, this is stuff that Pete and I have done, you know, for the last 19, 20 years working together. It's always, there's opportunities to do something new and have fun. You know, how can you apply this hot rod look to it? And that's the fun part, you know, working with you, Dave, and Allie, to do that trailer. I mean, and really pull both vehicles together.
They did.
You know, and complement each other.
I mean,
and
if
not,
you guys get
a
chance, go back to that booth and look at it, because it's majestic.
So we'll post some pictures up. We'll post the pictures up on our website and online. Check out Shift Steer Media on our social media. But try to explain what it looks like. If you can.
Well,
oh, it's,
you know,
cool.
We took a lot of
there's
styling cue. There's wheels on it. There's a trailer hitch. You know,
and it's connected to the MDX.
What we wanted to do was, you know, have some continuity of theme there. And we kind of decided, you know, a trailer's a trailer. But we had fun using, like, the roll cage from the car as inspiration. And that's the whole truss work between the outer perimeter, which is all tubular, and all the tubing is all bent. It's all very organic. It has flow to it. So it really, yep, it blends in between the two vehicles.
Well, no, and it's low slung, you know, and we use the same wheels that are on the MDX on the trailer.
Oh,
usually
okay.
Have little wheels on a trailer. It looks corny. And so this actually has 20s on it. And it's like, oh, my God, this thing's... It's,
which was unique to work with.
Your question, Matt, it looks like a rock star stage. It does. It looks like it's like the rigging for the lighting and everything, and it sits on top of that.
It's not like one piece of metal going across with a car on top. It's almost tiered, like multiple levels.
That's what it feels like, because it feels low slung. But
You're not using the word cohesive.
It's cohesive.
But you had to deal with a corporate word.
You had to deal with one of the big obstacles, which was that GT race car sits on the ground with a big carbon fiber splitter, so it's not just a trailer with ramps that you can pull up either. Oh.
Absolutely right. You know, it's funny, the NSX GT3, when you first look at it, you think it's a small little race car, but quite honestly, it's really big. It's really
it's
wide.
Big.
It's really long.
It's a lot wider than the stock NSX.
Oh, yeah.
So those are certain parameters we had to stay within and reverse engineer off of that to make this trailer work. And again, we use that as an advantage to actually make the trailer bed higher, which really, you know, almost puts the NSX GT3 up on the stage.
And it's SEMA, you know, you walk around where we were at, if the car's down on the ground, it's so low you wouldn't see it. And now it's got its own stage.
Level.
Like, we built a rolling stage.
It's just cool.
So you can have the super low car, but lift it up a little bit so you can see it.
And it's cool as hell.
Yeah.
But we're getting so much traffic about people going by going, holy crap, where can I get a trailer like this?
Yeah, well, that was my next question.
You can pay a bunch of money to Jimmy Shine, and he'll build one for you.
Oh, come on.
It's like Relig's truck. You can't have it.
It's really unique. The outer perimeter is static. It doesn't move. It's hard-mounted. But then the bed itself is hinged in the very front, and we've got a hydraulic pump, two hydraulic rams. The whole trailer, actually, the bed drops if it's from the front. And drops to the ground in the back. I mean, 3/16 of an inch.
Oh, that's pretty
and then
amazing.
You just pull off like a ramp. So well, it doesn't need ramps at all.
So is it angled then, Jim?
Does it angle? Yes,
okay,
it does.
So it doesn't
angle.
Go straight down.
No.
Okay.
It hinges in the front, but the NSX is so low and so long. It's 2.5 inches off the ground. So even with doing everything we did, we still have to utilize ramps in the back. So we built some really discreet, nice ramps.
Wow. Well
easy
done,
enough.
Man.
But, yeah. I mean, the car.
It's cool.
Just moving the car around just in the parking lot, you know, behind the shop. Yeah. It's just,
go
it's tough. It's really tough. It's so low. But it
Lock
actually goes on the
trailer. I tell you, I think you might need to make a second one. I feel like this is the trailer that Corolla needs because those goddamn race cars are so low. And we have, like, we run, like, six race ramps out the back of that thing. So
yeah.
You can go foot. To a centimeter, and
especially
it's just
with the noses on those two 260s have those. Big
Adam's down there with like a plane and some wood. He's trying to make that thing go.
The Lamborghinis. I mean, all that stuff.
None of that stuff does.
But
I
think
the idea
you know
of the trailer going.
At the end of the day, it was from an accurate standpoint. We're precision crafted performance, and why not use somebody that you wouldn't expect to use, but knows as much about cars as anybody, and then you just go look. Let's have Jimmy build this thing.
And bring in Hot Rod Ingenuity.
And then it gives us some more cachet because we're the cool kids on the block or whatever.
I love that kind of stuff, though.
Yeah, me too.
I love that kind of stuff. And where, honestly, I would imagine, Jimmy, you're like, I'm going to build a trailer, but also I haven't built a trailer, so this is going to be kind of badass.
It. Yeah.
But
yeah.
Like,
you want me to what?
Well, and Matt Schlauster, he's the head of Acura PR, and he's like, I overheard him just today, and he goes, yeah, you know, whatever Dave wants to do, he just does it. So we got a trailer. Like,
nobody wants to argue.
Yeah, I mean, it's stay.
Like when you did that concrete pump.
That's right.
Yeah, you should have seen the concrete pump. We built it in SoCal, what, 5, 6, 7 years ago?
It was awesome.
See?
Well, it's always something to Hot Rod.
Those are the best projects.
Yeah.
Like what?
Well, guys, shades, toaster ovens, you got it.
The NSX is available now.
Yes.
The GT3 next season.
GT3 starting in Daytona.
Okay.
In January.
And what's the website? Acura.com?
Acura.com.
Or is it Acura?
That's Acura.com.
Not like some of the car companies where it's NA or anything.
Acura.com.
Like. Perfect. How about you, Jimmy? Where can we find you online?
Oh, JimmyShine.com. That's our home website.
Okay. And you're on all the social media as well.
Oh, Jimmy absolutely.
Jimmy Shine Workshop there, though, right?
Facebook and Instagram as well.
Cool. Well, we appreciate you guys coming by to the Shift
and
Steer stage.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you very much. Always good to have our buddies come by.
I'll be back in 20 minutes.
We like our friends.
Why wait? Come back now.
All right. There's more coming. We've got Wayne Carini and more people after that. So just stick around. Shift and Steer live from the SEMA show. Hey, so that was Jimmy Shine and Dave Merrick. It was really cool. We got a chance to go back and look at their car and the trailer that Jimmy built. It was really cool. But now we're keeping Shift and Steer rolling because we have Wayne Carini here. How you doing, Wayne?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. My feet are still holding up, and that's the important thing at SEMA, right?
Yeah,
I know.
That's a big one.
So, everything just keeps going on. I mean, how many seasons are you guys in now? It's like ridiculous.
We're filming our 10th year, but our 9th season. So we had 2 one-hour specials the first year, and then this will be our 9th season coming up.
Congratulations.
Wow.
That's
fantastic.
150 episodes.
Wow.
We're in 37 countries now. It's crazy. But you know, the car hobby has so exploded so much over the past few years, over the past 10 years, and we've just been along for the ride. So we've been doing our part, hopefully helping out as much as possible.
Now, I have a question because, Matt and Pete and all of us, Aaron, we've been going to the car auctions, forever, and, collectors and like that. Now where you're at on TV, and I watch your show and I think, okay, is it a good thing? Does that outweigh that people call you now and go, hey, I've got this barn finder, I've got this car that is for sale? Does that outweigh the guys that go, oh, that's Wayne Carini, let's try and jack it up a little bit?
Well, when I'm buying cars at auction, and that's not very often that I buy a car at auction.
Right.
It's got to be something I really want or it's a good deal where I can make money on it in the future. But I'll bid on the telephone, you know, I'll stand in the back of the room, I'll itch my nose, I'll do whatever it takes maybe to throw them
be
off a
subtle.
Little bit. Be subtle.
Be subtle,
that's all. Yeah. People, sometimes they think I'm going to bid on the car, and I just stand there, and I just look straight forward, you know, and they go, damn it, I thought he was going to bid on that car. I don't do a thing, so you got to throw them off a little bit, you know.
Absolutely.
And never give all your secrets up.
And that's where knowing all the guys, all the auctioneers, and, you know, everybody from Craig to Rob Meyer to, you know, David Gooding, so that you can stand there and kind of do that, and they go, oh, he just bid.
Yeah.
They know that.
But your strategy, is the exact opposite of a very good friend, mutual friend of ours, Ken Ligenfelder.
Yeah, Ken.
He'll just sit there and he'll be just like, I like it. I'm in. I'll bid. And like, I'll sit there and be like, have you seen one of these? These things are pretty cool, this Falcon. And he's like, yeah, that's cool. Bid.
Well,
and then
fortunately,
sits in his warehouse for 18 months. He's like, I never drove. I'm going to sell it.
Fortunately, this past year at Auctions America, he was bidding on one of my cars, and I was sitting right next to him. And he says, what do you think? I said, I think it's great.
I think you should buy it.
Actually, keep going.
I had breakfast with him the other day, and he told me that story.
Yeah, he bought a 67 Caddy Eldorado.
Yeah, that's what he told me.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, he said it's junk. He said, lied to him, and everything's bent up.
Buyer's remorse.
That car for him was just, he's so happy with it because it was a passionate buy. Like, it was a sentimental car.
It was.
He knew the car. He knew what he wanted. He's been looking for a while, and that's one of his cars. So, Ken, as you know, he has this great collection. He has about 150 of his cars that are in his Lingenfelder collection.
Wow.
The most amazing cars, from Corvettes from back in the day to his Ferraris.
We keep talking about seeing it. Hello.
Okay. But
let's
then
go.
He has the other warehouse of the stuff where he's like, that's his eBay and Craigslist cars.
Yeah.
He's got about 40 or 50 cars in there that he just bought on a whim, right?
Right.
And now he's, because the Lingenfelder company is growing, and he's got to get rid of all of those.
Oh, no.
Because that's
don't worry,
growing
he's not
going to
get rid of. He'll just build more buildings.
That's
all.
Don't worry
about it.
You know, because he's also trying
to, answer,
he's like, I've got to sell those cars for the space, and I just got the invitation to get the LaFerrari Spider.
One of the nicest guys.
You have to get it. He's such a sweet
guy.
He's been on this show before.
Yeah.
These guys have went and talked to him.
One of my closest friends in the automobile industry. And Ken and I just, we hit it off really well years ago. And just been close friends. And that's what's great about this business. We meet so many great friends and make so many great friends. I mean, and people are just the best.
All those relationships seem to last forever. That's the thing in here. And a guy like that.
And coming here and being able to see everybody in one location, too. So, you know, I go to Concours and I get to see one group of people. But coming here, you get to see most everybody. You know, it's
Monterey
and
SEMA.
Perdome,
this is where I see all my East Coast friends.
And, and that would be a whole other show if we just sat here and listed all the mutual friends that we have.
Another thing that you've probably seen is, as the collectors, and as you said, you noted that things have just grown and exploded, we've seen not only more collections, but some of these collections that used to see somebody that was just into brass era cars or just into this, now these collections, some of them, haven't you seen that they've kind of become very eclectic and wide-ranging?
You know, and we always say, anybody that loves cars loves everything.
Yep.
So a good collector may have Duesenberg in the garage, but he's got a hot rod right next to it. You know, he's got a brass era car, you know. And
Bruce Meyer's stuff is a perfect example.
Oh, there's a good example.
Yeah, a
really
good example.
But, you know,
that
you'll go into
hack.
Most any collection, unless they're really focused on one genre, which is muscle cars or something like that. But if you get a guy that just loves cars, I've got one of each era cars, and I've got probably 10 of each era cars, unfortunately, but don't tell my wife.
You've been doing this a really long time, but let me ask you a question. If you've got something really that you really want, do you still get the stomach? It never goes away, does it?
I just bought a 1930 Minerva, Hibbert and Darren bodied Minerva, which they only made one of. And
that's why we don't know what you're talking about.
I know, exactly. Yeah.
I wake up in the middle of the night thinking about that car still. And I mean,
it never goes away.
No, it never goes away, you know. And it's all about the chase, you know.
I've watched you do that. I mean, it's like, you know, is it TV or is it really, you know what I'm saying?
It's the deal, you know.
Okay,
it's the real deal.
Let's talk about the chase. Let's negotiate a deal right now. Let's buy, I want to buy the Paul Newman Volvo station wagon.
Not for sale.
Come on.
I knew you were going there.
Not for sale. You better
I knew
see,
you were
you'll
going
keep
there.
Chasing that car.
Son of a bitch, you're an awful negotiator.
See, I've been chasing a Mini Cooper.
Well, wait a minute. What do you got to trade?
There you go. Yeah.
And I actually I've got
some cars.
Yeah,
we've
about,
got a room
yeah.
full of vintage Lamborghinis you want to trade.
No, that could be a possibility. But the Newman Volvo is pretty special to me, you know. Yeah.
It's pretty special to me.
Yeah. Well, it's more special to me because, you know what? I got it.
You used to have it. By the time this podcast is done,
you know, I like the deal where the car ain't for sale, but if it was for sale, how much would it be?
There's always that. Could be a great donation to his charity. That's where I have plans for that car is to probably to donate the entire car and all the proceeds to his hole in the wall gang.
No problem. I'll give you the money you donated.
Yeah. Well, we could talk.
He's serious.
Yeah. So Paul built four of these cars.
Yeah.
And Dave Letterman had one or has one. Mm-hmm. Then his accountant in New York and Paul and so there's you know. Actually, it was three cars.
Yeah.
And when I fixed David
Letterman's... Doesn't the head of the charity have one of them now?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah, so when
then I shouldn't have emailed him and offered him money.
When I fixed Letterman's car, because I do a lot of work for Dave, I said, I'd love to have one of these cars. He says, I think Newman's is for sale. And then a few weeks later, it ended up to be able to buy it.
Somehow you're involved with somebody else in this car?
I used to be, but I bought him out.
You bought him out?
Yeah, bought him out.
Because he was ready to sell.
He was ready to sell.
He was ready to sell.
That's why I bought
him out. I had the paperwork. I had all the books.
Well, he sent me to find the car. And then as I'm buying it, he says, you know, I made a mistake. I want that car, so too late.
Yeah.
He says, well, how about if we partner it? So I said, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
But when it came time, you know, I ended up buying them out.
Are all three of the cars accounted for then?
Yes.
So Letterman has one, you have one.
Yep, and the other one was wrecked, and I don't know if it was totally gone.
It was wrecked on Merritt Parkway. It's a $9,000 car.
But it was Paul Newman's $9,000.
So in the back of the car, Paul Newman had just finished playing tennis that day that he sold the car, and there's his tennis shorts, his shirt, his socks. God.
That must smell horrible.
Yeah.
Well, it's got his DNA in it, though.
You know, it's funny. Here's a great story for is one of the Paul Newman cars that's over in Adam Carolla's collection. He started buying these cars before they became popular, before the movie that he made came out.
Yeah, great movie.
So before he raised the price on
all the cars, including the one we're trying to buy. We bought the car, and because they came from different race shops, it comes with extra cylinder heads and cranks, and they're like, buy the car, take all the bodywork, take all the crap that goes with it, which is valuable. And we opened one of the toolboxes, and Newman's racing suit was in it.
Yeah.
And that came with the car. That suit is probably $50,000 on its own. So
right.
That's like free money.
What I like about it is I knew Paul, and I got to know Paul pretty well. And so buying his car, a guy that I knew and being who he was, I mean, he lived in Connecticut because he just wanted to be out of the limelight of Hollywood, you know, and he wanted to be left alone. And so we met at a pizza place in Hebron, Connecticut, when he was building the Hole in the Wall gang.
Yeah.
So...
Well, you gotta come by and see the collection. Adam's got 10 Newman cars.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah,
we're working
really
on 11, aren't we?
Yeah, well, we possibly can talk about it.
He's actually amassed a really amazing, amazing collection.
Yeah.
Really personal items and documentation and photos and a lot of things that a lot of people have given up into their collection to honor that. So
some people used to say, I had Paul Newman's eyes, I had blue eyes. And they said, yeah, now he's got his station wagon.
Now you got his station wagon.
And his socks.
It's funny. His eyes were in the back of the wagon. It came with the way it was weird. It's like, I'm just going to install
it. They left it in a toolbox.
Yeah.
There's no uncut footage on the Velocity floor of, like, where you put on Newman socks and tennis. Okay, we don't want to see that.
They're still in the back of the car. I have not touched them.
Oh, wow, that's awesome.
You can't get in the car now.
So what
terrible.
Is there one car that it's? I know it's always like kids, but is there
car?
One car that yeah, is great, elusive, that you're still chasing. You're still trying to find.
Well, I mean, people say, what's your favorite car? And I always say it's the next one.
Yeah.
The next one's my favorite car. But there are cars.
Well, there's
like
one car, a 250 short wheelbase Ferrari.
Right.
If you took every car away in the world, that's the one car I would like to have. And I would give up all my other cars and motorcycles for that one car.
Oh, let me know. Maybe we can work a deal on
mine. Yeah, maybe that wagon.
What happens when you get to actually buy the one car that you've been chasing after a while
in your life? It's like I've got this tablet at home with all my bucket list things on it. And somebody asked me the other day, well, what happens when you check all those off? I said, well, you just turn the page and you make a new one.
Yeah. That's better than dying.
You go back to the ones you just sold and go, I never should have sold that car.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. Now, it's, you know, I'm living the dream. you know, with our TV show. You know, it all happened because there was a Hudson Italia that I chased when I was 16 years old. I bought it when I was 52.
Oh,
and
wow.
Donald Osborne, you guys know Donald Osborne, wrote an article in the New York Times. It appeared in the Times. And the head of my production company read that article and called me the next day and said, I'd like to do a TV show about you. That was 10 years ago, and I thought he was absolutely insane.
Yeah,
he followed me around with a camera, and he says, that's all I'm going to do, and we'll see what happens, and look at what's happened.
Wow.
I mean, we're in over 400 million homes around the world. That's the people have the ability to watch us.
Which is wonderful, because we are, too, right now with this
podcast. That's a good deal.
That's good. So here, give a little advice.
Tuesday nights at 10, Chasing Classic Cars.
There you go. How about a little advice for the listeners of this show? Somebody looking to get into the market, what's happening right now in the investor car world? What sort of advice would you give? Is there something that's flattening out a little bit? Now's the time to buy?
The advice I give them is buy what you like. And the heck with the market, the heck with what your neighbor says or your uncle or whatever. Because if the world goes to zero tomorrow, you still got to like the car that's in the garage.
Yeah,
so
true.
Whatever it is, buy what you love.
Unless it's like a Plymouth
Prowler. That is really good advice.
Yeah. And another thing is, too, is people say, well, how do you know when it's time to sell a car? So my theory is...
When you're desperate for cash?
Well, that comes in. But if I drive a car and I go out for a cruise and I park the car in my driveway and I had a great time and I walk towards my house, if I don't stop 10 feet from the house and look back at that car and go, damn it, that's a great car.
That is...
Then it's time to sell it. If you don't turn around and look at it, it's sort of like kissing your wife goodbye in the morning, you know? You know... If you don't turn back,
get rid of it. Get rid of it.
Hey, now. Hey,
I can say that easy. I've been married 35 years, and she's a great girl.
When you turn the light on in the garage and the car surprises you, and you go, God, the thing is so bitching.
Yeah. You know, I've done that with sometimes. I met a guy in Connecticut that has a great collection, and he says, I want to show you my collection. I go to the garage, and Pete, this is unbelievable. I open the door. I looked inside, and I closed the door real quick. I said, I can't believe what I just saw. I mean, the garage looked like it had three cars in it. It must have had 100 cars. It was very deceiving, you know, the look of the garage. And and all these cars, a sea of cars. It was an unbelievable thing.
That's what it has to do.
Yeah. And if you don't open and close that door and go, oh, my God.
It's really cool.
You get a moment to breathe.
Yeah. It's like a bat cave.
What I enjoy, too, is going out in my garage, at my farm, with a glass of wine. I just walk around and look at my cars.
Yeah.
I enjoy them myself. I don't need to show them. Well, maybe, maybe if one of them doesn't start,
After three glasses of wine, you walk
they
around and just tell yourself,
better.
Don't touch it. Don't touch it.
Don't touch my car.
When I tell my wife I'm going out in the shop just to, look at the cars, do that, she goes, you're wasting time again. Yeah. It's not wasting time.
No.
We have a
it's
thing in my house. No. It's one Brad? More minute, right, Brad? Just one more minute.
Yeah,
exactly. One more minute.
Brad can't sell anything to save his life. He just can't
sell
it.
I'm the same way.
No, I mean.
I just get more buildings,
He just got it stored. He's got stuff stored all around the world, it seems like. All around the country. He's just like.
Well, our collection grows and grows and grows. And my wife, one night, she said, I want to know where all the cars are and what we own.
No, you don't.
And so we're in a restaurant. She said, she puts a piece of paper at the table. She says, I'm not getting up till you write them all down. So I started writing them down. Then, of course, on the way home, she says, was that all? I said, yeah, but God, I forgot about that Ferrari.
How did you forget about a Ferrari?
Well, I sent a Ferrari to a friend's shop for a belt service 5 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
But fortunately, it's a 328.
Yeah.
I would have sold it right away. It's got 3,000 miles in it. Now it's triple the value.
Yeah.
And I didn't pay any storage fees.
Yeah.
That's right. I've got to start sending my cars to shops for repairs.
Yes.
That'd be cheaper.
Free storage.
That's a good tip. The tip from Wayne Carini.
That's
send them to shops.
That's what you did to me.
The worst thing that could happen to Brad is they actually fix his cars
and send
them
the front end.
Yes, exactly. They'd get them fixed in my case.
Yeah.
And then they'd just charge me a big bill and I'd have to store them.
There you go.
Pete has one of my precious right now. But, I have to say, I have a little personal connection here, and I actually wept a little bit during one of your shows because I had to unfortunately sell an 850 Commando Norton that I saw you riding around that was Gordon's.
Yeah.
And I had to hawk that to him to pay for my attorney at the time because I'd gotten a little divorce. But, and when I saw that bike, because he said, of course, I'll let you know if I ever sell it.
Right.
And then I saw it on the show. I was like,
I just bought one at Meekum out in Monterey. I bought an 850 Commando electric start with the JPS colors.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, pretty cool bike.
I was chasing that one because I was waiting for my uncle's one who left it to me in his will, and I never got it.
So never got it.
My dad had it in his collection, and he finally, after 22 years, he finally gave it to me last February for my birthday.
Wow, that's
fabulous. So now I have my uncle's 850 Commando electric start. dual disc brakes.
Gotta
right?
love it.
I
That's
do.
A great
I
bike.
Worship that thing yeah. every time I walk by it.
Great, so, don't sell bike. It.
You know, these are good things, folks. This is what we live for.
That's right.
They're motored and they have wheels.
And, yeah. and I'll take any of the stuff up here in the Ford display.
Yeah,
I'll tell
yeah.
you
oh, yeah.
yeah.
Any of the stuff pretty much around this whole building. There's
so
there.
You,
so, so much.
You saw the Le Mans winning cars up there. And yeah. Rob Kaufman owns the number two car, and we're restoring a Bugatti for him right now. And Rob's a great guy, great collector, great customer of ours. So to see that car here, and won Pebble Beach this year. So yeah, won the GT40 class at Pebble Beach this
wow.
year.
Yeah.
And then to see the other GT, which Rob's an investor with Ganassi. So to see both of his cars up there, the one dirty and the one clean, that's pretty cool. And Ford's display, of course, is just phenomenal.
Yeah, oh, it's always just, stellar.
Yeah.
We were up there.
We get to stare at it
every day.
Makes
you hungry.
Yeah. And, you know, the trucks seem to be the vehicle of the year. I mean, everywhere you look, these unbelievable trucks are outside.
Yeah, they've been leaning on that pretty hard for 10
you know,
years.
I had a good chat with Henry Ford III, and we were talking about some of the stuff that's in this booth, and just the turbo technology. The turbo technology yeah. today allows them to do so many things, but they can make fuel-efficient vehicles, but then the other 5,000 vendors that are here are like turbos. Like now we can make them awesome. Yeah. We can make them fast, and there's so much power there, and there's turbo technology and tuning, and
yeah, it's amazing
and exhaust
what you can
kits,
get
and
out
like,
of something.
Now you've got this fuel efficient truck that gets 25 miles to the gallon, but three booths down, they're like, we can make 700 horsepower with that thing. Forget
that's
fuel
true.
Economy, you know,
and get 19.
Yeah. But that's what I love about SEMA is you can get all of that
this
here.
This is
We've
an unbelievable
around,
event,
just,
isn't it? I mean, you know, I hadn't come here until 5 years ago.
Yeah. Really?
So all my career I work all the time, never get out, you know, and finally Velocity asked me to come here and appear here, and I just couldn't believe it. So phenomenal.
Pete's first
SEMA
show.
74.
Yeah, well,
everything
you're
was
a lucky guy.
Everything was in black and white back then.
Yeah. yeah.
Oh, you're gonna get it, buddy.
Don't pick on Pete.
Oh, I love Pete.
Don't pick on Grandpa Pete.
So there's a new. I mean, we know that it's not seasonal, but there's a new season of all the new shows coming up.
Yeah, that'll be in March. So they had us booked for January, but we got pushed off to March. So March will be the first episode of Chasing Classic Cars.
Little sneak peek.
What
how many?
What are we finding?
How many's in the episode?
How many episodes? 24 for a season. We've been doing 26 a season.
Are you kidding
but
me?
But we have 2 one-hour specials in that 24, so yeah.
Wow.
And we just celebrated our 150th episode.
So much for 13, huh?
Yeah, so much for 13. So much for 9. We started with 8, I think.
I mean,
went to 13 and then 26.
That's incredible, brother.
I think we're the only show on the network.
I was going to say, you got to be.
In any of them that we do 26 a year. That's a show every 2 weeks.
Yep.
So,
and that's
I mean,
a lot of work.
So
know,
give us a
so when do you get
airplane.
To go play? You don't get to
don't,
play. It's a whole year.
Yeah, it is.
So
it
what's
is.
Coming up this season? What are we going to hear about?
Well, you know, you're going to see a Minerva. You're going to see a lot of things. We're going over to Europe. We're going to do the Goodwood Hill Climb.
Okay, cool.
Oh, wow. You know, and a little Porsche that I have, a little,
yeah.
little
yeah,
speedster.
We'll
that thing's cool.
You know,
yeah,
so,
we were there. Adam raced his Paul Newman 300ZX
yeah,
up that
I can't,
hill.
I can't wait to do that. You know, checking off all these bucket list things. And I'm going to be going to Bonneville and try to go over 200 with Jimmy Shine. Jimmy Thacker, little Model A.
Yeah, Tony Thacker, Jimmy Shine.
Yeah,
car.
Right. Tony Thacker,
yeah,
Jimmy
yeah, yeah. That's
car.
What got us on the salt.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. yeah. So I bought that car at auction recently, and we're going to go out and see what
oh,
we can do.
Oh,
you're
having a good time, man.
That's
yeah.
a great car.
So my wife says to me, she says, "So what do you get if you go? You know, if you set this record over 200?" I said, "Well, you get a red hat."
Yeah, it's a $500,000
no
hat.
No trophy. Nothing you got to do. No, just a red hat.
No, you get to pay to be there. That's cool.
Yeah,
yeah. The red hat. That's not very fashionable.
She offered to buy the red hat for me, but said, nah,
it's not for sale.
It's not the same.
You have to earn that,
yeah.
don't you? You got to
yeah,
earn that.
That's the most expensive hat in the world.
That's
man.
Exactly right. Exactly. And it was 400 mile an hour, guys. Think of what it cost them for that hat.
Oh,
yeah,
man.
Is it the same shade of red? Did they get the same hat?
No. I think it's black. Is the
it's blue.
Blue.
It's
blue. Blue. Yeah.
yeah.
It's got lots of salt on it.
Yeah,
it's been around a while.
You always notice Jimmy's wearing his at SEMA, you know?
Yeah.
I said to him, I go,
yeah, he's got
I go dude, you got the shadow. We're trying to take pictures, and you're giving him a hard time. And he goes, Hey, man.
I'm not taking
this
it off.
This hat is special. I go, I know it is.
Yeah. So we've got some good finds. We've got that Minerva that I just talked about. We're doing a special thing about low-mileage cars. I just found an M6 BMW 87 M6 with 6,000 miles on it.
I like that.
I have like 8 cars with under 10,000 miles right now. Yeah.
Cool.
So we're doing a little special about that.
The M6 and the 80s, did it have that little like refrigerator in the center console?
It could have as an option, yeah.
I remember that.
Yeah. This has got the biggest option, the stick shift in the center console.
I remember being 11 years old going, this is where I'm going to put my beers.
Yeah. Your Pepsi Clear?
Yeah. It's Crystal Pepsi. Now, it's Crystal Pepsi.
When you find low mileage cars, do you find that you see more of them in a regional area like Southwest or anything like that, or it's pretty much across the board?
No, they're all across the board, you know. So I bought an 87 420 SEL Mercedes, just, you know, I think a great car because it's one of the last hand-built Mercedes, and it had 9,500 miles on it.
Wow.
I died because in the driveway there was a turbo diesel station wagon and only had 2,000 miles on it.
Wow.
And the guy drove a Lexus and it had 300,000 miles, but these were his babies, and he parked them in the garage.
Yeah.
You know, so
we
find a lot of that stuff. I just found a Mazda Miata with 6,000 miles on it. 944 Porsche with 8,000 miles.
Wow.
So I like that.
That is
kind
a
of
story,
stuff.
Isn't it?
Yeah. And I think that'll be
it's
a
cool.
good episode
yeah,
for
no,
us.
Very cool.
You know?
Yeah, we found some really low mile Ford, 32 Ford. One was a 34, it had 7,000 miles on it, 15,000 on a Deuce Roadster. Just, they're there.
Yeah, our episode with Steve Moll building my little hot rod, my Speedway, was very popular. So I was with Steve a few weeks ago, and we've decided to build another car. So we're going to start that project pretty soon.
Are you going to do a coach-built car, or are you going to do a platform car?
Yeah, it's going to be a coach-built car. It's going to be wild. So it's going to be like a... almost like a GT40 style car.
Oh, you're going to do it like a late model?
Yeah, but the windshield will go down by the bumper so you can look in like a Maserati birdcage.
Okay,
and you're able to look
in
and see the
it's kind
pedal
of like
boxes.
A, like a McLaren kind of a front.
Yeah.
I mean,
you see all the inner workings.
You see all the inner workings. We won't put any dashboard cover on it. It'll be all the wires showing. A mid-engine 331 Caddy with a transaxle with no cover on it so you can actually reach in and touch the engine. No glass over it, just the motor sticking out the back.
Well, those are the guys to do
front
it.
Front fenders will be able to go up and down.
You know if Alberto's going to do the drawings on that?
Alberto's doing the drawings.
He's doing drawings for me right now, too.
Yeah, he's wonderful. And then of course, Jimmy, the metal man. Jimmy. I want to do another car before Jimmy says retirement time.
You can't. Yeah. Jimmy's.
I know. So you got some great metal shapers. Marcel, you know, and those guys, you know, his son is unbelievable.
Yeah, we got a couple guys that just came back
Jimmy,
into the fold. Yeah.
And there's a handful of guys out there that are really that talented. You know,
fine.
You can give Jimmy a drawing of the car, and he just does it.
He's
amazing.
He
doesn't need measurements or anything else. He just does it. He's unbelievable.
I like that guy. You go in there, and if you spend a little too much time, he just sits down.
Right.
He waits for you to leave because he doesn't want you there.
He doesn't want to show you how he does it.
Yeah.
I've become good friends with him, and usually doesn't allow anybody in the shop. So he's got his own shop across the street from Steve's shop.
You know, the difference is that he knows you know, and like he knows I know, then it's cool. But people that go in there that he's uncomfortable with,
that's it. Shuts down.
Yeah.
He'll just close the door and go home.
That's right.
I've heard that, so it is true.
Oh, yeah.
I love the Moles. They're great.
Yeah.
Aaron
Moles
does that,
great
too.
Family.
Aaron's
great
been
people.
Doing that for years.
Well,
shutting down.
You got to get work done, you know.
We were going to talk to you about that.
So
yeah,
when
my clients
we know,
are currently.
We know that you got to get going. You got a lot going on here at SEMA.
Yeah.
Tell us where all our listeners can find you online and like that.
So F40.com, we're Facebook, Chasing Classic Cars on Facebook. I personally don't do anything on that. That's done by my production company.
Okay.
I just don't have time to do Facebook stuff, and people get upset when you don't reply to them.
Not with 26 episodes a season.
And then, of course, you know, we can go to Velocity. You can see a little bit about that. We're on demand now so that you can watch some of the old shows. So we have 150 episodes. It's a lot of time, you know, if you got nothing to do on a weekend, you know, a lot of time to sit down and watch Chasing Classic Cars. And it'll be on Friday night. I don't know the time it'll be on, but we're having a mini marathon. and it'll include a live recording that we do here tomorrow. It's not live, but we do the
so
recording
here tomorrow. Are you going to stream that? Will it go straight through?
I'm not sure. You know, I, they put the camera in front of me, and I say they say talk, and I don't know what happens after that. It goes out in midair, and I have no idea what happens.
Yeah, well, that's really cool.
Well, that's cool. Well, we appreciate you coming by.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing to think that this all started with an article in the New York Times, and of course. I was prepared, I guess, you know, and I give talks around the country about being prepared in life. And be prepared because someday somebody's going to open the door and give you an opportunity. Yep. And if you're not prepared and you don't have the preparation and the knowledge that you can go through with this, what they ask you to do. So, you know, I was prepared.
Yeah, you got to have a cool car in the garage to look at when you open that door.
That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Hey, one thing that everybody in this whole place has in common is it all started with the love of cars.
That's right. Yeah.
And that's where it goes from
there.
That's
where it is. My dad restored cars for a living. That's how I got into it. He was the founder of the Model A Restorers Club of America.
Really?
In 1951. So, you know, cars have been in my blood.
Very cool.
Well, we thank you. Yeah.
Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for coming by. Congratulations on all these shows.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Sweet.
Everybody, Wayne Carini, Chasing Classic Cars. Right here from the SEMA show. This is Shift and Steer. Now, where can they find us online, Matt?
So check out shiftandsteer.com, and you can see all of our social media stuff at Shift Steer Media. And please subscribe. Subscribe on iTunes or the Podcast One mobile app and tell a friend.
Telephone.
Telephone.
Telefax. Did you? Was there something that we needed to talk about here?
This is my. It looks like a little tiny paint can. It's my Garage Boss Survival Kit for SEMA. It's got 5-hour energy drink and mouthwash and Purell, and it's got.
Those are cool.
It's got Advil and anti-hangover drugs.
But you need that.
We all need that.
But no Dr. Scholl's, huh?
But these guys at Garage Boss, we're going to check them out at some point soon.
Are they like GarageBoss.com?
No, they make the they make this this great like sealable plastic container. So when you're draining your oil and you don't have to hold that bucket, and you're trying to wobble around to it, and you're going to spill it. Slide this thing over, it drains right in. You put the cap on it, take it right to the recycle place,
awesome.
And you're good to go.
Sweet. So,
thank you guys for allowing me to be on today. It's a
thank
wonderful thing to be
time.
Able to hang out with you and trade some old car stories.
Thank you.
This is another edition of Shift and Steer. We'll have more tomorrow. And stick around because Man Seeks Adventure is coming up here in just a few minutes. We got some great guests.